In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There's no doubt that the man that we encounter in our gospel reading this morning has faith. Capernaum lies 25 miles from the town of Cana, where Jesus first turned water into wine. And this man knows that Jesus is the one who can do what he needs. His son is near death. And so he makes that trek because he hears that Jesus is there. He knows that Jesus is the one that can heal him. And so he goes to Cana to plead with Jesus that he would come and heal his son. This man has faith. But even in that faith, he still does not have faith. A strong faith. We see the weaknesses exposed by Jesus' interaction with this man, because right away, before we even hear a word come out of the man's mouth, Jesus says, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you won't believe." See, Jesus knows that this man, along with many in Israel, the only way that they're going to believe is if they see something amazing. They need to see Jesus doing something. This is nothing new. We've seen this elsewhere. Even when you look at the creation account, how did God create all things? I just read all of Genesis chapter 1, where you see Jesus, where you see God creating the heavens and the earth. And what does he do? Does he magically wave his hands and do some type of amazing thing? No. He simply speaks, and it is. We see the power of God's word. But indeed, Jesus tells this man, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." He tests his faith. See, God tests the faith of his people. He did it to Abraham. You'll recall that whenever Abraham was asked to go and sacrifice his son, his only son, there at Mount Moriah, he did it. He went. And what an amazing thing that was, as God had made all kinds of promises to Abraham, that he'd be the father of many nations, that he'd have all of these children, and if he takes away his one and only son, Isaac, what will become of this? And sure, Abraham could have done that, I suppose. He could have said, "No, I'm not going to sacrifice my son. This is the only son I have, Lord. How dare you ask of something of this? After all, it is rather an evil thing for God to ask for a human sacrifice to begin with. This is what the pagans do." But Abraham goes. Abraham goes because he has faith that even if he does indeed have to slay his son there on Mount Moriah, that his son will live. That his son lives. That on the last day when God raises the living and the dead, that his son Isaac will be among those who are raised. So we look at this official, this nobleman who comes seeking healing for his son. He wants Jesus to come down to his house, 25 miles away, put his hands on his son and heal him. And for the moment, this is what his faith depends upon. Yes, he has faith that Jesus can do it for now. But if Jesus doesn't come down and heal his son, he supposes that perhaps Jesus isn't who he says he is. This is the same thing that happened with Naaman, you'll recall. Naaman, the military official from Syria, is told by the little Israelite girl, "If only you go down to Israel, there's a man there that can heal you." She's talking about Elisha. And he goes down to Israel, and he expects, first of all, that the king will know what he needs to do. But he goes to Elisha, and Elisha doesn't come out to him and wave his hands over him. No, he simply tells him, "Go wash yourself in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be like that of a newborn infant." And he doesn't do it, because he doesn't have faith. But Jesus, while he tests the faith of this official, notice he still does the thing that the man asks for. He tests the faith of this man, of this nobleman. But immediately after that, the man again responds, "Lord, please help my son." And Jesus doesn't do what he asks him to do, but he does what is needed. He does what is needed to strengthen his faith, and he says, "Go, your son lives." Yes, I know that the bulletin and your English Standard Version translation says, "Your son will live," but that is not a future verb. It's a present tense. Your son lives. Notice the ambiguity in that. Well, of course his son lives. If his son were dead, would he be there in the first place? Go, your son lives. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, yet shall he live. And he who lives and believes in me will never die." See, his son lives. Even if he dies, even if his son, if he returned home and found his son dead, he has the word of Christ. Your son lives. We have that same promise, dear friends in Christ, because so often our faith is tested. We pin our faith to the things of this world. We believe that God loves us and is faithful to us as long as things are going well, as long as people are healthy, as long as our prayers are answered to our liking. But we also suppose that if things don't go well, then perhaps God is not near to us. Perhaps he's far away. Perhaps he doesn't hear our prayers. But indeed, our faith must be in the Word of God. As the author to the letter of Hebrews writes, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Jesus said to Thomas, after he had the incident where Thomas would not believe unless he put his fingers into the hands and the side of Jesus, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." We do not have Jesus walking and talking among us today. When we pray with confidence that our dear Father in heaven hears us because we are his dear children. We have been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have that right as God's children, that privilege as God's children to call upon him in prayer. But we also know, because we have faith in the things not seen, that even if our prayer is not answered, that God, who is faithful and just, will indeed answer that prayer. That he is faithful because he gives us that promise of forgiveness, life, and salvation won by Christ on the cross and given to us in word and sacrament. And so the official goes down to his house. And notice, he didn't have to see his son healed to believe. All it says after Jesus says, "Go, your son lives," the official says, "I believe that word." And he goes back to his house. And then he gets the joyous news from his servants that indeed, your son is recovering. And he says, "Well, when did it happen?" And he recognizes that it was at the exact same time that Jesus says, "Go, your son lives." And what is this? This is God confirming the faith of this man. And what does he do now? He and his whole household believe. He preaches to them the very word of God. And they themselves come to faith and come to believe that Christ indeed does what he says he will do. And so, dear friends in Christ, do not put your faith and your hope into the things of this world. Do not suppose that God is far off simply because things do not always go your way on a day-to-day basis, but rather put your faith in the Word of God. Stay steadfast in the Word of God and its promises, because you know that because Christ has risen from the dead, what the Lord tells you is true. You know that you live. You know that you live now. And he who lives and believes in Jesus will never die. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Please stand as we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, we give thanks for all your goodness and bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your Holy Church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy, save and defend your whole church, purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Strengthen your faithful people through the word and the holy sacraments, making them perfect in love and in all good works, and establishing in them the faith once delivered to the saints. Lord, in your mercy, grant your wisdom and heavenly grace to all pastors and to those who hold office in your church, that in their devoted service, faith may abound and your kingdom increase. Lord, in your mercy, send the light of your truth into all the earth. Raise up faithful servants of Christ to advance the gospel both at home and in distant lands. Lord, in your mercy, in your mercy, strengthen newly established congregations and support them in challenging times. Make them steadfast, abounding in the work of the Lord, and let their faith and zeal for the gospel refresh and renew the witness of your people everywhere. Lord, in your mercy, preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we may lead a peaceable life with integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this state, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy, take from us all hatred and prejudice. Give us the spirit of love and order our days in your peace. Prosper the labor of those who work to bring peace and justice to the nations of the world, that mutual understanding and common endeavor may be increased among all peoples. Lord, in your mercy, bless the schools of the church and all colleges, universities, and centers of research, and those who teach and work in them. Grant your wisdom in such measure that people may serve you honorably in church and state, that our common life may be conformed to the ways of your truth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Sanctify our homes with your presence,
and bless them with joy. Keep our children in the covenant of their baptism and enable their parents to bring them up in lives of faith and devotion. Unite the members of all families in a spirit of affection and service, that they may show your praise in our land and in all the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let your blessing remain upon the seed time and harvest, the commerce and industry, the leisure and rest, the arts and culture of our people. Take under your special protection those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and be with all who put their hands to any useful task. Give them the just rewards for their labor and the knowledge that their work is a blessing in your sight. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
By your holy word and sacrament, and by your Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity, especially Susan, Carl, Raymond, Jessica, Donna, Stacy, D.H., Andrea, Dale, Allison, Jude, Dan, Jess, Wrigley, Pat, Lindsay, Rock, Tyler, Ryder, Debbie, Phyllis, Helga, Ken, Georgia Ann, Connie, Carolyn, Joe, Tammy, Heath, and Lonnie. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those in sorrow and grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We remember with thanksgiving those who have loved and served you in your church on earth and now rest from their labors. Keep us in fellowship with all your saints and bring us at last to the joys of your heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.